So, it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. And because I know my mum often listens to these sermons on the website, let me say Happy Mother's Day, Mum, even if you are hearing this a week or so after the event. If you're a mum here today, I hope this is a really great day for you. I hope you feel loved and appreciated. I hope you have a chance to reflect on what it means to be a mother. And I say that with all due humility because, of course, I am not a mother. And so I can't really comment with authority on what it means. At the same time, I'm aware that even for mothers, Mother's Day can actually be a slightly tricky day because it gets built up into such a big thing. This amazing day in spring when the sun is always shining and the flowers are blooming and all the work that you do and all those sleepless nights and all those sacrifices and stretch marks and headaches and long days are completely worth it, because that perfect day, Mother's Day, will be one long, beautiful extravaganza of appreciation and love and presence to match, of course, your unbelievable mothering skills. You might picture the day starting with breakfast in bed around, probably about now. Maybe a latte, fresh raspberries with a warm croissant, then maybe a relaxing lavender-scented bath, perfectly chosen gifts, maybe perfume or really fancy, not sensible shoes, lots of words of affirmation, and above all, absolutely no responsibility for anything. If that's what Mother's Day is like at your house, I suggest that for your own safety, you keep it to yourself. Because the reality for most mums is, I suspect, somewhat different. And you can fill in the gruesome details for yourselves. Seriously, I hope that the mums out there do really have a great day today. At least a bit of a chance to relax and unwind and feel appreciated. But of course, there is a whole additional complexity to Mother's Day, because for all sorts of people, today and other days like this aren't just tricky, they are brutally painful. Courtney Reisig is a woman who writes about how, as a child, she loved Mother's Day growing up. She says this: "The holiday usually involved eating out at a fancy restaurant, not the norm for our family, where we gave my mum carefully composed cards and hand-picked gifts. Even into adulthood, Mother's Day never caused problems for me. And then I miscarried. Last Mother's Day was the first one where I felt deep down that I was supposed to be celebrating that day, yet my arms were empty. I should have had a one-month-old, not a spare bedroom filled with books and supplies we never used. Like many women, I dreaded the day, wishing I could sleep through it and wake up on Monday." Some people take Mother's Day and use it to highlight other important aspects of motherhood, like the fact that many women in underdeveloped countries die in childbirth. Others refuse to even acknowledge the day because of what it can do to all the non-mothers out there. So my question is this: as Christians, as the church, what is our response to all that? How do we deal with something like Mother's Day? Is the answer really just to throw the proverbial Mother's Day baby out with the muddy, rather consumer-driven bathwater? For the last several weeks, we've been looking at ways in which we can shape our lives based on the culture of the cross, the culture of God's kingdom, rather than the culture of the world that we live in. And we've based this series on a section from Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 12, where he talks about exactly that, recognizing what God wants from us and letting him change us from the inside out, rather than just fitting into the culture around us without thinking. And there's quite a lot more in that passage that we could spend more weeks on. But we're going to wrap up the series today by looking at a short verse in that chapter that sounds simple, but that can be deeply challenging. Do feel free to turn to Romans 12 if you've got your Bibles, so that you can at least see the context of this. But the verse is very short. It's just Romans 12, verse 15. And it says this: rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. The thing is, what it means to be the church is that we walk through, is that we walk together through the hard parts and the easy parts. That's true every day, and it's totally true on Mother's Day. Part of being the church is doing the hard, tender work of making room for all of our different experiences, especially on days that maybe highlight the pain in our lives. So for those of you for whom this day is painful for any reason, you need to know today that you are loved and that you are an important part of our community. And we are so glad you're here. If today is hard because your relationship with your mum is broken, or because you've lost your mum, or you've lost a child, if you're longing to be a mother, or because you're finding being a mother particularly difficult, or for whatever other reason you find today a source of pain or sorrow or unhappiness, on behalf of all of us, let me say, I am so sorry. And I'm really glad that you're here, no matter what you're carrying. Now, if I'm honest, it's very easy for me to stand up here and say that. It's much harder, much more challenging, to take that on an individual and personal level. And that's why preaching is only one part, and in many ways a very small part, of the way we grow spiritually. Actually opening ourselves up to sharing our stories, as we were doing earlier, sharing our lives, and equally being prepared to hear other people's stories is what will actually change and do things in our lives. That might be on a one-to-one basis, might be in a home group or a small group of friends, might even be sharing your own story in front of everyone on a Sunday morning, as Wilma and Janet did. But that level of honesty and openness grows us as people. It's all because of the way God has designed us to be in community. If you'll forgive me using a phrase which is slightly dangerous because of its political connotations, we really are better together. And I don't mean that in any way beyond the context of what we're talking about today. We're better together. By that I mean the experience of life, the experience of being human, the experience of growing up, the experience of being a mother or a father or a child, the experience of following Jesus. All of these are so much richer and deeper if you're doing it with a little tribe who tells you the truth, helps you, prays for you, challenges you, bails you out, gives you grace, rejoices with you, mourns with you. Community is God's design. And by community, I don't just mean a group of people who happen to live in the same town or go to the same place on a Sunday morning. Real community is about sharing the journey of life together. One of the ways God is most active in our lives is through the brothers and sisters that walk through life with us, his hands and feet on the earth. So we're not even just talking about spending time with one another. That's part of it, but a real community based on cross culture is going to be characterized by honesty and openness and acceptance. A place where you can say, actually, no, I'm not okay today. A community based on the sort of things that you put in Facebook posts and Christmas circulars is not community. We have to be able to present our real selves, warts and all, pain and sorrow and challenges and all. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. When you think about that verse, I wonder which half you think is more difficult. I suspect that for a lot of us, at least at face value, we think that rejoicing with other people is pretty straightforward. It's the mourning with those who mourn that's hard. That certainly requires the honesty from them that I've just been talking about, and the acceptance and love that we looked at earlier in this series. Pain is not something we instinctively seek out. Certainly not our own pain, but not other people's pain either. And so it's difficult to weep with those who weep, especially when their tragedy seems foreign to you. If you're a mum on a day like today, how do you weep alongside the weeping woman while you have a happy, healthy baby bouncing on your hip? Being prepared to mourn with those who mourn, not just to sympathize, but to empathize with them, to feel their pain, to share it, to actually take some of it onto yourself. That is a hard thing to do. But I want to suggest that as hard as it is to do that, it's maybe even harder to rejoice with those who are rejoicing when you yourself are broken. How do you rejoice with those who rejoice when rejoicing feels like a knife stabbing you in the heart? The truth is, sometimes it is just plain hard. Courtney Reisig again. Good news, she writes, does not always come at convenient times. In fact, sometimes the news of a friend's pregnancy comes right after you've spent the morning weeping over your own inability to conceive. Sometimes the mother-daughter tea at church comes right after a low day of missing your own mother. This life is messy and sorrowful. Sometimes something that Paul understood when he wrote these words. Sometimes rejoicing with someone else means expressing genuine joy over their good blessing while you wait bereaved and barren. This never negates the reality of our suffering, but it does help us to give honor where honor is due, especially on a day like Mother's Day. In a culture where motherhood is increasingly under attack, we should be the first to embrace and honor the gift of motherhood, even if it's a gift that brings pain with it for us or for those that we love. If you're here today as someone who finds Mother's Day a time for joy, that is great. But maybe to look around and notice those who do not. Recognize their weeping and weep with them. Recognize that sometimes they are going to need space, time, and grace to heal. Remember them when they feel forgotten and rejected and lonely. If you're someone who finds Mother's Day painful, that's okay too. But when you are able, seek the gift of being able to look around and rejoice with those who are rejoicing. I can't speak from personal experience here, but I have no doubt that being a mother is a difficult thing to do. And it's full of sacrifice. And these mums should be encouraged and helped and celebrated. Children are a blessing to parents and aunts and uncles and grandparents and friends. Find the joy in other people's joy. It's hard to rejoice with those who are rejoicing when you are completely broken. It is hard to weep with those who weep when everything is going right in your life. And what makes this almost impossible task possible is love. Love that looks outside of ourselves. Love that looks around. Love that puts ourselves in another person's shoes. Love that is there for the unlovely. Love that makes us vulnerable and honest. Love that makes another person's interests their own. And in case you've missed it, we find that love in Jesus Christ. He has loved me like this. He has loved me in my brokenness. He's loved me in my anger. He's loved me in my rebellion. He's loved me when I question his goodness and wisdom. He has loved me unconditionally. He has loved me sacrificially. He's loved me by providing for my needs. He's loved me by allowing me to walk through the fires of life in order to see new and beautiful things and to grow in so many ways. He's loved me by never leaving me alone. He's loved me by bridging the gap in painful or absent relationships. He's loved me by putting love in my heart for people I would never love on my own and in circumstances where I would rather retreat instead of engage. This is amazing, transforming love. The writer, Shauna Nyquist, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Nyquist, I think, tells of how after her first son was born, she had a really hard time getting pregnant again. And she miscarried twice. One of those times was with twins. For almost 4 years, there was so much longing and loss in their home, so much confusion and hope, trying not to hope, trying to hope, more loss, more longing. And she wrote a post on her blog when at the end of her rope, she had just found out that she wasn't pregnant again. And she'd also just heard that another of her friends was pregnant, the 17th one of her friends who was pregnant at that point, and 9 of her friends had had babies that autumn. And she was feeling so tender and so raw that at dinner that night with her family, she said to them, "If any of you are pregnant, I need you to tell me right now." She said this to her 60-year-old parents and her single brother. And they stared at her in some confusion. But she said at that point, nothing would have surprised her. Her telephone might have been pregnant. That chair was probably pregnant. And she told her husband that she was so frustrated and so angry that she just wanted to break something glass just to make it, to feel it shatter. And she wrote that in her blog post, that someday she wanted to break something just to feel it shatter. Later that week, Shauna had lunch with her friend Emily. Emily had come into town to visit, and Shauna was kind of hoping that Emily hadn't read her blog post because Emily was one of the 17 pregnant friends. And Shauna just wanted to talk to her about her baby and about the pregnancy and cravings and names. She just wanted it to be a sweet, happy lunch. And it was. They had a great time together. And then Emily gave her a box wrapped up as a gift and a card. She told her that she had read her post and that this was the point in friendship where sometimes two friends walk away from each other for a while because the pain and the awkwardness is too great. She said she thought they could do better than that. And she asked Shauna to open the box. And inside were 2 pairs of safety goggles. Emily said, "When you feel like shattering something, I will be right there with you. We'll put on our safety goggles. I'll help you break something. And I'll help you to clean it up." She said, "You've been here celebrating with me. And I'm here to grieve with you. We can do every step of this together." This is the heart of friendship. This is rejoicing with those who rejoice and mourning with those who mourn. Let's pray together. Father, we want to pray today for each mother in this church family. Thank you for them. Thank you for the work that they do, representing your heart day in and day out. We pray that you would help them to be fearless in making their everyday choices, to live well with the people that you've placed in their lives, to tell the truth, to ask for help, to accept grace, We pray that we would be a community surrounding them that makes it easier and richer and better to be a mother. And we pray too for those for whom this day takes them to painful places for all sorts of different reasons. We pray for each person in this community that you would bind up their broken hearts as we know that you can. That you would help them to ask for help well. And that you would help us to meet their needs with extraordinary grace and kindness and love and empathy. We pray it in your Son's name. Amen.